It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. And let me tell you how you do it. You can do it too. Let me tell you how to do it. Here you go. Here you go. You go, I declare my independence. See how easy that was? And you didn't even need a government form. Oh, see, if you think you need to ask permission or need a form or something, you deserve to be told no, no. You know, it's like the slave masters. You know, you got the slaves coming to him and say, please, master, can I have some more freedom? Well, guess what? He already knows he won by the fact you're even asking. Stop asking. Just live it. That doesn't mean they're not going to come busting down your door or doing whatever they're going to do to you, but at least you're free in your head. Can we start there? Because your butt ain't going to follow until your mind be right. That's the first thing you got to do. Well, what we're going to do is today we're just going to start off with some Judge Napolitano on Fox's Freedom Watch, where we have Ron Paul there. It just kind of segues into a bunch of the stuff I want to talk about today. So we're going to go ahead and give him a few minutes and have him give us what for. Here we go.
Scandals and America's red ink. The scandal surrounding Congressman Anthony Weiner involves lies, lewd texting, and other scurrilous communications. But at the heart of this wrongdoing is a more important question. Did the congressman use federal facilities and therefore our tax dollars to prop up his lies? And why is it that had the congressman's lies been told to the FBI, he'd be prosecuted? But when he told them just to us, he is free. What does the scandal mean for the Democrats' big spending agenda? More on that later in the show. But now, as the debt talks stall, more and more Republicans are finding themselves defending the Constitution. How did we let previous Congresses write laws that force the present Congress to spend money that it doesn't even have? President Obama's main financial confidant just quit yesterday. Could it be the president's big government, pro-regulation, anti-business, and anti-free market inclinations drove this economic advisor back to Chicago? To answer that inquiry, I turn to a man who is the very antithesis of President Obama. He's a man who wants to take down the Federal Reserve, restore the value of the dollar, abolish the IRS, and confine the government to the limits imposed upon it by the Constitution. Here now, Texas Republican Congressman and Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul. Congressman Paul, it's always a pleasure. Welcome back to Freedom Watch.
Thank you, Judge.
Congressman, with unemployment the highest it's been since the Great Depression, is the president losing all credibility as he continues to attempt to engage in the central planning of the economy?
Oh, absolutely. Although he doesn't get all the blame because, you know, it took a lot of years. And the people in Congress in the previous presidencies, they all contributed to it by endorsing a system of central economic planning through the Federal Reserve. So, yes, it's a failed system. Just as Mises predicted socialism would fail in the Soviet system, there are the Austrian economists that have predicted that fiat money and endless spending, it will fail. And it is failing. And that's why just changing advisors won't matter if you don't change policy significantly. So we have to give up on central economic planning through the manipulation of money and credit.
You have spent your entire career educating America on the values of the free market and the detriments to all of us, present and future, of central planning. What is the best argument for Ron Paul to be the Republican nominee for president of the United States against the sitting incumbent Barack Obama?
Well, I would say that the other candidates, talk in some ways similar to what I'm saying, but I think it's credibility, and I think it's the fact that I have rejected the status quo for a long time, and therefore have the credibility of saying what we need to do is change things. And like you said in your introduction, I mean, I'm on record for getting rid of the Fed, getting rid of central economic planning, getting rid of the income tax, and repeal the 16th Amendment, but change the foreign policy as well. Others are hinting, and I think this is good, and I'm very pleased with it, and we're getting better votes in the Congress today also. But I just think the other candidates pretty much are part of the status quo, with a leaning now, in the Republican primary at least, toward less government. At least they state that. The big problem is over the years, we've heard that so many times, and then we finally get the Republicans in charge, and they act like Democrats. So that is what the real challenge is, and hope I fill the bill where people can believe exactly what I'm saying, and I would do exactly as I have promised.
I have the same view about the IRS as do you. I have the same view about the income tax as do you, and I expect most people watching us now feel similarly. But the question that comes to mind is, how would the government run? How would it operate if there were no income taxes to pay for it?
Well, you know, that's always the question. We might look at our history. I think there was a good many years we didn't have an income tax, other than for a brief period under Lincoln. We didn't have an income tax until 1914, and we did quite well. But the question isn't so much how you do it, it's how much do you want to pay for? If you want a welfare system, if you want the entitlement system to continue, if you want corporate welfare, the military-industrial complex, and foreign adventurism and policing the world, you can't do it. No. Not only do you need the income tax, you need to borrow, you need to print the money. So it's an attitude about government. And I think the most important question that we have to ask is, what should the role of government be? And I believe the founders asked that question. They didn't like the role of the king, and they changed it and tried to give us a document. They made an effort to try to restrain us from going back to these old habits again. And that's the question we have to answer. If we had the proper role of government, believe me, if we just, you know, basically followed the Constitution, we wouldn't even have to have an income tax. We would live within our means, and we wouldn't be able to print money, and we wouldn't be able to borrow like we do.
Are you surprised that you are more popular on college campuses today than President Obama is?
Well, I didn't know that was the case, but it would make me feel good, because I know what they respond to, and they respond to this message that you and I have been talking about. And I would say that should make us all feel good, because I know my personal limitations, but I think everybody knows where I stand. And if there is the popularity that you say, I would say it's great that the philosophy of liberty is gaining in popularity.
I have to tell you, another unusual place where the popularity of liberty is gaining. You are the leading candidate for the presidency amongst bartenders and waiters and waitresses in restaurants and pubs around the country. Why is that so, Congressman Paul?
Well, I don't know, because I don't frequent the bars very often. I'll have a glass of wine at dinner time, but I don't go to the bars. But I know exactly why, and that is that I have one little bill, you know, a token effort, since you know we can't get rid of the IRS tomorrow. But I thought, why don't we get rid of all taxes on tips? Wouldn't that be magnificent? Think of many kids and young people have worked their way through college. So we say, we as conservatives and libertarians, we don't want everybody to be getting free loans, you know, and grants from the government. So some of them, many of them, will go out and work, and then they make small amounts, and then we hound them to death so that we make sure we collect taxes on their tips.
Right.
So I'll tell you what, it is very, very popular. Maybe they could take care of themselves if we would get off their backs and let them keep the money they've earned.
Your creativity knows no end, Congressman Paul. Thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you.
Yep, always a pleasure.
My next guest says,
always a pleasure. You know, we're looking at there being a revolution that's coming between the ears from all over. I mean, from every aspect of our society. We have Tracy Chapman, you know, is considered to be very liberal. She's a folk singer and so on. She had a lot of really good songs that made her prosperous. And she has, we're talking about a revolution song. We may rejoin with it next time. We'll play a little bit of it when we come back. And got plenty to talk about. I think Dr. Ron Paul is, everybody calls him Congressman. All of his supporters, we just call him Dr. Paul because we don't want to demean him. He's sending us off on a path that we're going to talk about more when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Don't you know you're talking about a revolution that sounds like a whisper? Don't you know you're talking about a revolution that sounds like a whisper? While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know you're talking about a revolution? It sounds
to a big, giant, open stadium full of people that are probably a little left-leaning, and there's no Obama signs. They're like, you know, no, we're talking about, you know, real against they, them, those. And it doesn't matter who, is in charge. It's just that somebody's in charge. This thing is cultural. And it's so obvious to many people for a long time. It is inevitable. And people that don't understand what's coming and why, we're trying to do the best we can so that you don't get blindsided. Because whenever, I mean, think about it, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, Bloomberg, all it is a big, giant shock to them when all of a sudden the stock market takes a crash, or silver and gold shoot up, or your pensions are worth nothing, or your home value took a dump. Oh, and it takes another one, and the municipal bonds go to crap, and the state debts and municipalities, they can't pay their bills. All it's such a surprise, is it? They just want you to think that they know, and if they don't know, a lot of times they're put in the positions of incompetence, and they don't know and don't care, and just regurgitate and reprint, you know, news by government handout kind of thing, because that's their job. And they know their job. Every now and then I talk to these guys, you know, they know their job. Don't make it all personal. They know mine. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies, and lies by omission, certainly to this, the detriment of the entire population of the planet, is, just as good or if not worse lie. So we're going to try and bring you through. Now, when you got the left starting to, you know, overlap with, and that's why I bring you a lot of the progressive, more left-leaning, if we just saved the money on all the bombs that we did, we could have more social programs. You know, this is, you know, it's just the other side of the same coin. It's still take from you and do what they want with it. The idea that you get to keep it is just not even on the radar screen. So we go through this, and it's an evolution, but it's happening much faster than people realize. I see the signs of it. We're trying to get out ahead of it. You know, that's why, you know, the online magazine, man, kicking butt, you know, starting to get a lot of subscriptions. You'll see we haven't even really started promoting. You go to Freedom's Phoenix, you see a little line up there, but we haven't put up the banner ad to promote it yet. And the reason was we're just making sure we're getting all the bugs out and make sure we get the right, you know, copy on everything and the, you know, whatever typos there were, and they wanted this paragraph italicized and change the order of the, you know, whatever. So we got that all taken care of. It looks like yesterday we're ready to go. So by the end of the day today, early tomorrow, we'll start major promotion of the magazine, and it's already starting to hit viral. When we send out links, okay, it's ready to download, to the Livevolution and all their organizations and groups and emails and Facebooks and Twitters and everything, boom, here goes our traffic. I already know how this works. It only goes viral when it's something that they care to forward. You know, if it's not worth forwarding, you know, then I'm not wasting putting my name next to that thing. So that's what's happening. We're just now starting to get it ready. Boom, launch. Now we've already launched it, but, you know, to the people that were already in the know. So now that we got it, they helped us do all the beta. Here we go. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play in the next segment. It'd probably take two segments to do. Dr. Paul was interviewed. I'll go over some, for the rest of the segment, some other news I want to hit on. But Dr. Paul, I want to get this in sometime today. It's 10 minutes, so it'll probably take two segments to do it. And it's him going on with Candy Crowley on CNN, State of the Union. It's a Sunday morning program. And CNN has been, I mean, they're like, okay, every single thing in the chronological order that you said, and to the degree worse than even you made us fear of what you were talking about in the 08 election cycle, has come to pass, Dr. Paul, but we're still not convinced. So it's you go through and you say, look, you know, the young kids know this. I go, what's your audience? Average age of what? You know, I mean, these guys, you're just going to evaporate out of existence because you're irrelevant. They know you don't know the truth, and you're sure as heck not going to say it. I'm kind of surprised. Well, not surprised. It would have been nice if he kind of gave a mention that CNN's having a debate that they're not inviting Governor Gary Johnson to. I just find it distasteful. You know, it's just, ew. Because, you know, here you got two prominent Republicans. They're, you know, it's showing a wave, showing a trend, showing a change, and that's what they don't want to show. The Republicans are freaking out. They know they can't get Ron Paul out of this thing, or nobody pay attention. They, you know, tip their hand to how controlled it is. But because whenever they diss the Levolution, oh, here she come. So hopefully, you know, we don't have to be directly involved in that. And because individuals do what they do, and I'm focused on, you know, promoting the message and Dr. Paul doing what he's doing. But, you know, don't make me go to the street again. You know, think we didn't learn something last time? We can be creative. Now, they just we had a big billboard that we put up on the highway between Las Vegas and Los Angeles. Last election cycle, it was an old Stuckey's truck stop that they had two big giant billboards, 19 sheets of plywood each. Big telephone pole billboards. And then some signs on their facility there, the other ones, and big tractor trailer rig that was out there. We had another sign. We had a lot of signs. We spent 4 or 5 days, a bunch of activists out there doing that. And they've come up with a new sign that they put up, and it's vinyl this time instead of being painted on the plywood. So they repaired it in such a way that they could put the vinyl on, and they put that up, and it's Ron Paul 2012 thing. And then at the bottom right, they got a little bitty, you know, Freedom's Phoenix on there, just out of appreciation for us, you know, doing the first one, I guess. So I thought that was nice. And they have this going up about now. I mean, pretty soon, if it's not already up, it should be getting some YouTubes. So I'm sure when it hits, we'll go ahead and check on it today. Sierra, go ahead and check on that. See, I don't know how to do it. Truck stop, Ron Paul Revolution, new sign probably pop up somewhere. And what we'll go ahead and do is we'll promote that when it comes up. But this is happening nationwide again. We had a lot of Mylar balloons that are about 2 feet long. They cost $2 a piece, and we got, oh, man, I think like 6,000-7,000 of them that people accumulated. You know, a bunch of people said, this is what we want to do. So we got them. We got a few thousand left because we used them when the Super Bowl was here in 08. It was the Patriots and the Giants. So we had the Ron Paul balloon, a little blimp balloons, just like the big blimp, that were put on monofilament line on the light poles, and they went up, and they were just everywhere. So the campaign's still going. And next time we come back, I want to go ahead and start playing this State of the Union show with Candy Crowley on CNN this last weekend. Get this out, Dr. Paul predicting what's coming, and then some of the news that's happening today that's exactly what he said was coming. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com at the farm. Yep, we got on the back porch, we have the goats and the chickens, and we let them come up because we irrigated, and it's time for them to take care of the bugs. Well, my little granddaughter Kaylee's out there, chicken! She's, what is she? She'll be 2 years old in August, and she wants to go pet and play. Well, we'll go do that after the show, Kaylee. We'll get you taken care of. You know, the thing is, I want to finish this segment and next segment with this this piece from State of the Union with Candy Crowley on CNN. And you may recognize her. She's a heavier woman, more mature, that's always in, she covers a lot of Middle East stuff and news and everything. I guess she's getting her own show. She's usually a correspondent, but she's a known face. You know, I guess it's a new show. I haven't seen it before, but, you know, have Dr. Paul on, give her some ratings. And they spent a good chunk of time with them. You know, it's a good 10 minutes of okay, give us what fur. And this is totally, totally, totally a shift, a change from what it was 4 years ago. What happens when no matter how much you don't want to hear the news, no matter how contrary it is to your self-interest, no matter how much it is you do not want to hear it, when you're told the truth and then it happens, do you think you might want to listen to the guy the next time? Just out of self-preservation. I'm just wondering. All right, well, let's go ahead and give him a shot and see what's up.
Joining me now, Republican presidential candidate, Congressman Ron Paul. Congressman, thank you very much for joining us. Let's talk about a couple of things that were out there this week. The debt ceiling. The House rejected raising the debt ceiling in what seemed like a pressure move as opposed to a final move. Will there be a deal to raise the debt ceiling this month?
Well, I don't think anybody has an absolute answer to that, but I have my suspicions, and I would bet on that there will be.
And much to your unhappiness.
Sure. I mean, I came into the Congress a good many years ago, and my goal was to shrink the size of government and balance our budget, pay the bills, have sound money, and live within our means and mind our own business. And I haven't done a very good job. It seems like we're going in the wrong direction.
Well, how much of the House vote, the House rejecting any increase in the debt ceiling until there is a deal to cut something in spending, of government spending, how much of that is real? And how much of it is a game of chicken? Because what we're told is the economy will implode if we don't raise this debt ceiling. So is this now in the gamesmanship stage rather than the serious stage?
100% gamesmanship. I mean, they're not serious. If they thought there was a problem, they would, cut the spending and go down to business. But no, they're not serious. It's who's going to get the blame and who's going to get the power and who's going to get the political benefits and who won't have to have their budget cut. And that's what it's all about. But it'll come down to the wire and they'll pass it because they will beat the drums of fear. That's how we get things done in Washington, whether it's on foreign policy. You know, they're about to attack us and they're going to bomb us with nuclear weapons and they get Congress to do things.
And in the end, what do you think would happen if it didn't pass? Because you're right. We're told that economic recovery would be threatened. Do you believe that if the debt ceiling was not raised?
It depends on how it's done. If it was a sign that we were getting our house in order, it might restore a lot of confidence. It might restore confidence in our dollar. Our dollar may go up because, hey, maybe they're serious this time. But if it's just sort of a mistake and they missed it a week or two and something like that, it could be very negative. But if it was part of a plan to change things, yes, I think it could be a very positive thing. But the big thing is, if we continue to do what we're doing and we raise the debt limit, what they don't want to think about is where we're going, because they say it could be bad and there could be some difficult circumstances on delaying payments. But delaying payments is nothing like not paying with real money, because governments always pay their bills. They never default by not paying bills. They always default by paying off with junk money. And we're already doing this. They're worrying about a default. The default is on the average person today because their inflation rate is high. They've lost their jobs. And so we're defaulting all the time. The default is just who's going to get punished the most. The people who got bailed out on Wall Street and somebody that owns our debt? Or will it once again be the middle class and default on them with just printing money?
What about the argument, though, that if we should default, it will drive up interest rates, and if you want a car, if you want to buy a house, you'll be paying double-digit interest rates. Doesn't it, in turn, affect the people you're talking about on the ground on Main Street trying to just do their jobs if you don't raise that debt ceiling?
That's why it's so difficult. And after 30 or 40 years of having no restraint on spending and printing money, you don't click a switch and correct that. So yes, interest rates may go up, but you want the market to work. You don't want a central economic planning. That's our problem, because the central economic planners, they get to fix the interest rates, also monetizes all the debt that the Congress. So people need to realize that if we're serious about this, interest rates may go up, but maybe we'll go back to work too.
The vice president and a group he's working with, the Republicans and Democrats, says that he's going to find well above $1 trillion worth of cuts in his group that's trying to find a way to go at this debt. How well above $1 trillion in cuts would it take for you to actually vote for an increase in the debt ceiling?
I'm not going to vote to increase the debt. I didn't vote for that, and I don't believe in it. But what's he talking about, $1 trillion? In what period of time? 1 year or 10 years? In this year's,
it's peanuts, is what you're trying to say?
It means nothing. The only thing that counts is this year. And our obligation, when you add up the deficit, the obligation to the borrowing of the trust funds, plus the entitlement obligation, $5 trillion this year. $1 trillion over 5 years. People, the market shouldn't believe us for a minute. That's just a joke.
We are back with Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul. Congressman, let me turn to your presidential politics here.
Well, that's a good place to pause it. So we'll go ahead and pick that up in the next segment. But you can see what's coming. And I guess it's an opportunity to go ahead and talk about some of the other stories that are related to this. And when the government is going to be, man, we need the money. You know, we need it right now. And there's nothing we're going to stop at to get it. Well, what happens? We have video up on Freedom's Phoenix today. Freedom's with an S, phoenix.com. SWAT team bust into house over student loan default. Now, let me tell you what happened. This is getting very interesting. We're going to be following this. I guarantee this is not going to get lost on anybody. What happened is you have the U.S. Department of Education has a SWAT team. I mean, right there, I'm like, what the heck is that about? So the U.S. Department of Education has a SWAT team that went to the Stockton, California Sheriff's Department or police, well, it was a police department, and they said, look, we got a warrant that we're going to serve, and we just want a, you know, official local cop car sitting out front so we can put the perp in there. You know, we need your help. That's all we need you to do. You know, just kind of put a veneer of, legitimacy to this thing. Local law enforcement, yells and balls, you be the federal government, we be doing what you say. Really? Is this the mindset? You know, we're just slaves. Yeah, and our local municipalities are slaves to, you know, our masses. You know, this is wrong. Didn't we fight this issue? Didn't we get this civil rights thing taken care of? Haven't we freed ourselves from, you know, this mentality? I thought that's what we did. Didn't we already do that? Guess not. So what happens is they go to Stockton Police and they say, we're going to commandeer one of your guys, and we're just going to have him stand out there, and you just stand there and be party, okay? So a U.S. Department of Education SWAT team goes in, kicks in the door. There's three young children in there from, like, I don't know, 6, 10, 11, around in there. Three teens. They bust in the door. They drag the man out in his underwear. They put him in the car for, you know, 6.5 hours with his kids in the back seat. Nothing there. They were after his estranged wife for past student loan bills. Wasn't even him. She wasn't there. Oh, wow. What the heck is happening? More when we come back. We're going to go to Greece.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It's more than a feeling here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. I tell you, we just want to share. You know, what do we know and what we think we know, we're going to share with you, and maybe you can, you know, send me an email what you know, and we'll add it to the collective consciousness of we know the truth. We know the truth. We know the truth. We know the truth that we need to be independent here on Declare Your Independence, because if you're not, then you're dependent. All you got to do is say it. I declare my independence. No government forms to fill out. Nothing. It's just in your head. Now, how you choose to live and what you do when the the Department of Education SWAT team comes kicking in your door, well, that's up to y'all. But I'm telling you, you know, I hope you're not going, they should do that. I'm sorry my ex-wife my estranged wife didn't, pay her student loan, so yeah, kick in the door. And he was saying, he's going, look, wait, hold on, I'm coming to the door, I'm coming, boom, and they just keep busting it in anyway. He's like, what the heck? And they drag him out, in his underwear, in the yard, do the whole knee, the back of the head and back thing, throw you in the back of the squad car in the heat with your three children, and I'm just, for 6 hours. So you're just going, okay, what was the deal? I'll tell you what it is. You think it's more complicated than it's not. It's terrorism. They're terrorizing these people, and if you don't pay your bill, and even at the end, he's like, hey, man, if you owe a student loan, learn the lesson I learned. You pay it. Well, what's the lesson? Here we go. It's going to be just like Starship Troopers or Spaceship Troopers. The old, is that a Heinlein book? And what happened was if you served in the military, guaranteed citizenship. You got special Roman citizenship kind of thing. Well, and this is what they're doing here. Enforcement is to terrorize an entire generation of indebted college students with tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, in student loans and no prospect for a job. And what is going to be the offer? Wait, here it comes. Service guarantees debt relief. You watch it. I guarantee it. There'll be some kind of national service. There'll be some kind of help your neighbor. There'll be some national, military, go fight in some war somewhere or something. Guarantees debt relief. I guarantee it. It will get introduced as legislation. There will be something that will be done. You know what? We're going to help you. We're going to do you a solid. We're going to have you serve your country. What have you done for your country? Ask not what your country has done for you, but what you've done for your country. And their country is going to release some of this debt after they start going around kicking in doors. Department of Education has a SWAT team. You starting to get it? I hope so. Where does it stop? It's amazing. I remember in the movie Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze talking to one of the other characters, they're bouncers, they call it, one of the coolers. They go into a messed up bar and they kind of, clean up the clientele kind of thing. And one of his friends that does the same thing, another city, they're on the phone. He says, how is it there in whatever city? How's it going? He's going, nothing we're not used to. And the other guy goes, Sam Elliott character, he goes, it's amazing what you can get used to, though. It's amazing what we can get used to. Amazing. But you have to intellectually put up a line well ahead of time. What's your line? When the man starts and comes up and goes, by the way, here's the memo. We just wanted to let you know we got shiny badge and uniform and a fine hat and little, bars on our shoulders and the always available gun. And if we're not wearing a gun, there's a guy behind us that'll be here to make that does wear one in case you don't do what we tell you. And we got this embossed piece of paper on this nice clipboard, and it says, your children belong to the king, and they're going to go fight over here for fill-in-the-blank reason. Oh, okay, as long as you got the piece of paper. Okay. Well, is it legal? Did you get passed? Get a little embossed seal? I guess they're yours now. Is that your line? We're here to register or take your guns. Yeah, cuz, got a law, embossed piece of paper, is that okay? Are we good then? Your property is needed by the king to do, fill in the blank reason cuz we said, and what your takings is, we're going to give you compensation is what we say. Oh, you don't like it, we'll go to our court, and then they'll say, yep, they said same thing, half. You see, it's just, what do you think government is? Friendly advice? You got to wrap your mind around this stuff. You just got to, there's battles to be fought. Fortunately, my mental health is okay because I get the knocks on the door. I get the same. I go, yes, I'd be good. And we'll get through and I'll get even later. I'll do whatever. Every time they do something stupid like this, I instruct my wife to go buy more beans and rice and the Kiwa stuff. I like that stuff. We need to get more of that. So I go, it's like a rice thing. So I go, honey, they, go buy another $50 worth of beans. Go buy, what other therapy am I going to have? I know it's just more, bricks in the wall that they're doing. Just another brick in the wall. So to save my freaking sanity, we just do what we can to, you know, feel better. All right, well, let's go ahead and continue with Ron Paul on CNN.
This is your third time around, and I think a lot of people know that you engender great passion from your followers. You win a lot of those straw polls when Republicans come to meet. You've proven that you can raise money, and yet there are a lot of people that say, you know, it's an interesting conversation, but doesn't have much of a chance to win. You've been around a long time. I know you know what the odds are. Why do you run?
Well, I'm not so sure I do know what the odds are, because I never thought I could ever get elected to Congress. You know, then I thought, well, if I vote the way I believe, I'll never get reelected. So, you know, you never know what can happen. And I know what the odds are. But the one thing is, it's very encouraging, is that I see a fantastic movement at the grassroots. You hear from supporters, but the whole country is moving. The attitude toward the endless, undeclared, silly wars that we fight that are bankrupting us, the silliness of the Federal Reserve printing money when we need so-called wealth, the deficits that are uncontrolled. So mainstream is now thinking about these things. Before, mainstream was deficits don't matter, print money when you need it, endless wars, personal privacy didn't mean anything. But believe me, mainstream is moving in the direction that I have been talking about for a long time, and therefore nobody knows what the outcome will be in this election. During the last campaign, I knew what was happening. You know, they mocked me for my foreign policy and they laughed at my monetary policy. No more. No more of the people coming over here. So I would say whatever happens is going to be good, because the people have woke up.
I want to ask you to size up the Republican race for me a little bit. What do you think of Sarah Palin?
Oh, I'm not much into sizing up anybody. Well, I can size them up as a group. I think so far most of them represent the status quo, you know, and not any. I think they're shifting a little bit because of the political pressure. But who's saying bring all the troops home? Who's saying that we need sound money and we ought to believe in the Constitution? Who wants to get rid of the Patriot Act? Who believes in property rights? You know, they're going to modify their position, but they represent the status quo. And this is what excites so many people now. They're sick of the status quo.
Let me try and put it to you this way. In 08, you did not endorse your party's ticket, Republican Party ticket of John McCain and Sarah Palin. You endorsed four others who are running on various platforms. Looking at this Republican field right now, is there anyone in it that you can already say, this person's on the ticket, there's no way Ron Paul will support him or her?
Well, if you ask me to promise that I would vote whoever the candidate is, no, I wouldn't do it, because my supporters wouldn't understand it, because they want to change. If they represent the status quo and nothing I believe in, but who knows how things may evolve. So it depends on the candidate. If they're starting to say, we need sound money, we need balanced budgets, we need to cut, we need to bring our troops home, we need to deregulate this economy, and we need to believe in personal freedom, I would give it serious consideration if they're serious on those matters.
So you could see Mitt Romney's platform developing into something that you could support?
Gee, I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to have a conversation with him.
Okay.
So maybe, hopefully, I have always high hopes.
You're quite the optimist. Quite the optimist. And finally, do you think, because, I mean, I think that to assume that they could sign on to a lot of the things whether you're talking about, Tim Pawlenty or Ron, Mitt Romney or Sarah Palin or others who are in the race, is a little far-fetched. Do you think there's ever a time that you would say, you know what, thanks Republican Party, but time for a third party bid?
Well, you know, I did that one time in a third party, and we don't have democracy in this country. That it's so biased. If you're in a third party, I can't get in debates as a third party candidate. When I did it as a third party, I spent over half my money just trying to get on the ballots. So we don't have a good democratic process. What happens if you...
Nope. That's all they left us. You have to invade and take over and do the Republican thing, because they didn't leave you any other option. All right, cool. You know, people want to do it. That's how they do it. We're doing it. And then there's some of us out there just wanting to survive it. Yeah, we'll do some more in the next hour. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already moved. Tour.